Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Off and running and reading tweets online, and I'm
seeing that's a dangerous thing.
Gord Miller is tweeting out
yes,
that you're in here today, but tomorrow I guess you're hosting solo.
I'm hosting a show. They've never entrusted me to host a show solo, to the point where I think, like, if Andy Petrillo was sick and I was driving in for Leafs lunch, they would stop at the bus stop and say, hey, you, buddy, have you ever hosted a show before? Because we want you to work with Gord. Like, they would never let me host.
Why do you say that, though? Have you ever asked? Have you ever really applied for it? Or are you just guessing that
That's just me, you know, totally projecting onto them.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't put me in charge of a show.
Well, why not? You could do it.
I would never have me host a show. Now, I've got to make notes on what you do today.
Yeah, but you're doing it solo tomorrow, right?
Well, solo meal. So I can't interrupt the host.
Yeah.
I can't mock the host. I can't incite the host.
But that also, that's not the problem. The problem is it doesn't go the other way. There's no one sitting there mocking you where you can react to it. There's no one inciting you with a ridiculous take.
I am unincitable.
I find that hard to believe.
I am.
I guarantee at some point between now and 7, I will light a fire under you, your you-know-what, that will lead to some sort of a reaction.
Really? You think I'm just going to...
I think so.
Okay. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't think I've ever hosted a radio show. Do you know that the first time I ever worked for radio, this is one of the worst stories of my career. I was working at CBC in Edmonton on the TV side, helping out on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And your ear is really bothering
me. My ear is killing me. I'm so nervous about how this show is going to go this afternoon.
You got the good dulcet tones today, though. But you got to go see Dr. Puntecky.
Is that your guy?
Dr. Puntecky is my ear, nose, and throat guy every 6 months, because we wear these earpieces.
Yeah.
Flushes them out. So anyway, I'm working for CBC TV helping out, and they sent me on a Sunday night, the radio guy was sick, to go to cover an Oiler game, right? So I got my little tape recorder, I'm going down, whoever the player of the game is, I got to get some sound from. Gretzky is 5 points against Minnesota, stick my microphone in on Gretzky, come out, I hadn't taken the pause button off. I got nothing. I'm at this time 19 years old, just starting out, going back with nothing. On your first try, probably not an option. So I go back in the dressing room, and there's Gretzky now by himself. And I said, hi, I'm from CBC radio tonight, but I normally do TV. And he's like, you got a question? Ask it. So I like get my tape recorder, and now I realize I'm 19 and I'm interviewing Wayne Gretzky by myself. And so I summoned up the very best question I could think of, which was, good game.
That's all you said was good game?
That's what I said, good game.
And then how did he react to that?
He saved me. He gave me...
See, that's the thing about guys like that. The ones that are constantly
to George Bell, he would take your head off.
Yeah, but you know that. You would have been aware of that. If you were on the beat at all, you're aware of who you can go up to and who you can't. And I'm sure Gretzky, at some point in his career, was in the wrong mood at the wrong time. And maybe didn't tell somebody to beat it, but didn't give the answers that they were looking for.
Well, the Mickey Mouse thing for him, right? The famous Mickey Mouse comment.
About Jersey or whatever?
Yeah, so Jersey...
But that was an actual opinion, though.
Yeah, it was.
Like, the media saved Gretzky, like, oh, he was in a bad... No, that's what he thought of New Jersey.
He was mad because his friend Ron Lowe, his former teammate, was in goal for New Jersey and got slaughtered. And he was peed about it.
But so, that's not, I don't think that's safe. That's not something you let him off the hook for. That was him actually being real.
Actually saying something he thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where those guys are usually so sheltered and so prepared to give you something without really giving you something.
So I did an event with him in Edmonton at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup, which you're so fond of talking about.
Yeah.
And the first thing he said was, good game. He thinks that's the best.
So he remembers that.
Oh, yeah. He's held that over me for 30 years now.
Well, he hooked you up, man. That's all you can ask for, right?
Yeah, he did it for me.
Well, and here's an example of why players, like prominent players, who are really celebrities in the sporting world, and anything they say, if they say anything controversial or polarizing, people are going to react and start yelling and screaming about it. Because Eric Lindros got into it this past weekend. Mm-hmm. He was at an event talking about concussions and head trauma and head injuries in the game and where we are technologically and philosophically and how we feel about it and where we've been in the past and where we're going in the future. And I didn't see the direct quote from him, but everything I've read, and I've been searching everywhere, suggested that he said, or was intimating at the time, that it might be in the best interest of the NHL to just get rid of body contact altogether. Get rid of hitting altogether.
Right.
And he used his own example in his current life, how he continues to play shinny hockey, and there's no contact, and he still has a ton of fun. So if we can have fun playing without contact on Tuesday nights, wherever, why can't they have fun and it be entertaining in the NHL? Not surprisingly, Lindros quickly jumped on Twitter and said, uh-oh, I got to clarify that.
Right.
Because that is an explosive take. Eric Lindros, Hall of Famer, Big E, who everyone hangs on his words because he doesn't speak publicly very often.
The Legion of Doom.
The Legion of Doom has come out and said, actually, the way I played and what I was really famous for, I don't think it should happen anymore. So he jumped on Twitter and said, quote, to clarify, I believe clean body contact should have a place in the upper age tiers in professional hockey. There's an importance for non-contact leagues, including youth teams and non-pro. So that's nothing. Like, with all due respect to Eric, that's what I believe everyone would say. There shouldn't be contact in non-pro leagues. Shouldn't have body contact in beer leagues, and that's why there isn't.
Right.
You shouldn't have there should be non-contact for kids growing up, and that's why there isn't any body contact until I think they're 13 or 14, and they keep moving the age up and up. But he said something that was a very new age take. A well-thought-out take, one that he might actually believe, but then the reaction started pouring in, and he's like, uh-oh, I got to jump on Twitter and say, wait a minute, I'm not actually saying take body contact out of the NHL.
Yeah, and I think the problem you have is that, you know, I was talking to Ron Robison, who's the commissioner of the Western Hockey League, and the Western Hockey League has been very slow to adapt to the, you know, they use the NHL rules. But things like hitting to the head, you know, blindside, they don't call a lot of that stuff. And they don't, fighting is still very much a part of their game, whereas Dave Branch in Ontario has been much more in the forefront of getting fighting out of junior hockey. There's two issues here. One is, with due respect to Eric Lindros, no one pays to go watch him play beer league hockey on Tuesday night. One of the reasons people pay big money to go to these games is the physical intensity of it. The problem you're going to have, if you don't do something, is parents are going to stop letting their kids play hockey. Now, it isn't at that point yet, but I would say football is very much on that track. When you look at registration for Pop Warner football, which is the entry level in the United States, it's dropped off precipitously over the last decade. If you had, you know, would you let your son play football is a very common question. And when it's asked to people that played football at high levels at college and pro, quite often the answer is no. So football needs to do something. It is quite possible to play an entire season in the National Hockey League and not get hit in the head. The vast majority of players don't get hit in the head, but some do. And so you have to balance off the risk factor with the safety factor. And I tend to think that I read Ken Dryden's book. I agree with a lot of it. I do agree with a lot of it. And I think that the International Ice Hockey Federation has been much more progressive in terms of taking head contact out of the game. But body contact needs to be part of the sport. What's going to be interesting this year, Brian, is the IHF has passed a new rule for a late hit. So you were a defenseman, right? So
very good one,
and a very
physically daunting one,
and an unappreciated one, from what I understand.
Right.
So
that's right.
So you're in the corner, in your own zone, passing the puck, no doubt crisply to a teammate, right on his tape,
tape to tape.
And now I'm coming in as the forechecker, and I've got two steamboats to finish you. Well, they're taking that out. Basically, if I'm not in the process of hitting you when you release the puck, and I have an option to peel off, if I hit you, it's a penalty. It's a late hitting
penalty. I like that, but that's a slippery slope because
it
I
is.
Still think it's a subjective call. How do you know who's bracing for the hit? How do you know when they made the decision that they were going to try to lay that
hit? So basically, the standard will be if you have the option to peel, if you had another option and didn't take it, they're going to call the penalty.
Which I think most people would be fine with. I don't need a late hit.
Right, and to be honest, if you watch hockey in the 70s, this is what Bob Clark talks about all the time, Bob Gainey, no one, quote-unquote, finished their checks in the 70s. That's a new development. There's a whole bunch of things that we take for granted in hockey that are actually recent developments. And James Myrtle pointed this out a couple years ago. The idea of the guy that has fewer than 20 points and more than 200 penalty minutes, that's a recent development. That's from the late 80s on, the guy that only fought. You know, John Ferguson could play. Dave Semenko could play. Those guys were regular players. But this idea of a boxer that plays hockey is kind of a recent development.
Yet they're gone. For the most part, they're gone.
But lamenting them as somehow this is a lost, you know, a century-old tradition of the game, it's not.
No, it's not. And I think you're right about Lindros, who I've got an immense amount of respect for. And he was one of my favorite players growing up. And he's been on this show many times. I don't dispute what he said about playing without contact is a lot of fun to play. But to your point, it's not fun to watch. There's a reason you get thousands of people throughout the country playing beer league and nobody showing up to watch it. You can't get girlfriends out. You can't get kids out. You can't get wives or husbands or boyfriends because they don't care to see it because it's not entertaining.
Right.
So you take physical contact out of hockey, it immediately loses a lot of its entertainment value.
Sure.
And the biggest straw man in sports debates is, well, look at the Olympics every 4 years. Yeah, that's where teams play between 3 and 7 games. It's high octane. There's a lot on the line for every single game. And the best players in the world have congregated to play in it.
Did you see Jágr get blown up in Vancouver?
Well, and that's another thing. People do forget that. I was going to say, there's an event that you're very, very closely aligned with, one of the great events that we love, and that's the World Juniors. One of the most famous World Junior player of my lifetime is Jordan Tootoo. The reason he was famous is because he crushed people.
Yeah.
I don't know if he touched the puck the whole tournament, but he laid out hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
So this idea that hitting doesn't exist in the international game is completely bogus and flawed.
It's ridiculous.
And the idea that you can replicate a tournament like that and apply it over an 82-game season in the NHL is just asinine and stupid.
I would say this, though. That argument does apply to fighting because we don't see fighting in the playoffs.
That's fine.
We don't see it. So,
but those are two separate issues. Fighting and physical contact are separate issues.
Are very different things. And so I think they do somehow get intertwined in the idea of old-school hockey people that don't like change. Football's going to have to make a change, Brian. There's no question about it.
But I think they got to be real careful, though, Gord, because I hear what you're saying. There's all this focus on the kids. Are they going to get into the game? Are they going to play? It's an existential battle on both ends of it. Who's going to participate and who's going to watch?
Right.
Because Richard Sherman's been going off on Twitter recently, and I tend to agree with him. I understand, in theory, the idea of trying to get rid of head-on-head contact or tackling using the crown of your helmet or whatever. I just don't know if it can actually happen. And you can keep football looking like football without 45 flags in games that are 75 to 72. And I don't think I want to watch that.
You don't? I think Penn State did some studies on football head contact. They put sensors in helmets. It's not the big hit over the middle that's causing it. It's the center, right, lining up against the nose guard, 60 offensive plays, and they're butting helmets, you know, so knock yourself on the head 60 times.
And that's the hypocrisy of this. So, they're not penalizing that.
No.
That's not being penalized.
So what if eventually they outlawed the three-point and four-point stance? So offensive linemen had to start basically upright. I believe that within 15 to 20 years in the NFL and all football leagues, offensive and defensive linemen will start in an upright position, much like offensive tackles do now. So tackles don't line up in a three-point stance. They line up upright. I think the guards and centers will too, and they won't allow defensive linemen to have a hand on the ground.
So what about the center? Will he just turn around and lob it to the quarterback?
He'll probably stand and flip it back or whatever.
So everything is out of the shotgun in the future.
Or you can just hand it back, I guess. You know. Or you just can't touch him. You can't touch him until he's upright.
I'm having a difficult time visualizing that and thinking I'm going to like it.
I know you are, but I love football. I love football at all levels. I really enjoy it. It's a great sport. The fact of the matter is there might not be enough people left to play it if we don't be. I mean,
I understand that.
My old high school in Edmonton, they've gone to 9-man football in Edmonton because they don't have enough kids playing football. So, I mean, eventually, the esoteric argument that we like hitting, we like contact.
Well, Here's the
okay,
issue
you have,
that
you have,
I take
you have a
with
daughter,
that.
Right?
Yes.
If you had a son, you'd let him play hockey?
Yeah.
Would you let him play football?
If he wanted to play football and his friends were playing football, I think I would let him play.
Would you encourage him to play football?
I don't know if I would encourage him because I don't have that history. I never played football. So I'm not obsessed with the idea of him following in my footsteps or her following in my footsteps. Am I aware of the potential dangers long term? Yes. would I be realistic as a parent and think there's a pretty good chance that he or she is not going to make it to the pro level? I'd like to believe I would have that type of reality set in. Mm-hmm. Like, that's only so many players actually get to college and right. get to the NFL. So if you're playing at a high school level or, you know, a Pop Warner level, it's flag football anyway.
We have daughters. I mean, my daughter never had an interest in playing hockey, but if she had, I'd have encouraged her because she can play that. And now there's some risk, of course, falling and everything else. But I mean,
risk everywhere. Oh,
I was, you know, Lisa Savage. I was at a golf tournament on Friday. Lisa Savage Jarvi, the great Canadian Olympic skier, right? I mean, Lisa was one of the worst falls ever. Her daughter skis. She knows the risks. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, there was another IndyCar crash on the weekend that was pretty serious, right? I mean, but I mean, when you drive 200 miles an hour, no matter how safe the car is, no matter, you know, how much catch fencing there is there or in skiing, it's dangerous. And playing sports is quite often dangerous. At the professional level, that's why we like it.
Yeah, there's an element of danger. With physicality comes the impression that they care more,
yeah.
that they're willing to put their bodies on the line to win.
I got a really angry email from a listener who sent to TSN last week about something I said with you last week, talking about intimidation and saying that, you know, I just pointed out that in the past, you know, pitchers threw at guys' heads all the time. And, you know, there was all kinds of intimidation tactics that were, I'm not saying it was good. My point was, I'm not encouraging it. I'm just saying that's what it was like then. A lot of that's not in the game anymore, and that's a good thing. But it's different. Intimidation is not nearly as much a part of sport as it used to be.
No, it's nowhere close. And hockey,
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it's different.
Yeah, no, that's just the truth. And what I'm having a difficult time with as well, as a sports fan and someone with an open mic where I express my opinions and people can hear them, is we're living in an era now where you're criticized for admitting that you do enjoy that physical play.
Right.
Or you're considered or labeled a Neanderthal because when fights break out, I don't turn the channel. And I believe there's a lot of hypocrites out there. It's the same thing with shootouts. You know, people, I hate the shootout. When it comes on, I turn it off. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
I don't believe that for a second.
No, you don't.
It's the same thing with fights. I don't like fighting. It's brutal. It's awful. I'll never pay attention. You're on your feet like everybody else in the building.
Right. And
doesn't
now,
mean it has to be a part of the game. But admitting that when it breaks out, you find it somewhat entertaining. It also doesn't mean that I want to see people injured. I don't want to see anybody get injured. I that's not what I'm looking for. I don't want to see pro athletes get injured. Why would anybody want to see that? But if it happens in the spur of the moment and it adds to the entertainment value, I'm not going to be disappointed because of it.
No, and I think the difference is the problem hockey has is, are you selling it? Are you selling fighting? Because if you are, you're doing a poor job.
But that doesn't apply to me. I'm not involved in the marketing of the NHL.
80% of NHL games now are fight-free. As of last season, 80% of NHL games did not feature a fight.
Right.
So if you're selling fighting...
But I don't think they are anymore. I think there was a time where they understood that benefited them.
Yeah, I think they're evolving away from that. It's funny, you know, because for the longest time, what people in USA Hockey, Hockey Canada, minor hockey organizations hated was TV commercials that showed kids getting up at 4 in the morning. You know, there was a Canadian Tire spot that showed the kid getting up at 5. And it's always they hated that. Like, don't give that impression of our game that your parents, you got to get up at 5 in the morning all the time. It's not always like that.
Well, that's another thing. Maybe some of the parents just don't want to do it anymore.
Right. But there's a second part of it, and that is showing fighting a lot in highlights and things like that may be turning some people off. It appeals to hardcore fans, but it might turn off the guy whose son comes and, hey, Dad, can I play hockey? I'm not saying that. The problem is there's a knee-jerk reaction. There's the instant reaction is, I love hockey, I'm Canadian, I'm old school, so I want things always to stay the way they were. They're not going to. They have to change. They did. They had to change.
Every sport evolves over time.
I remember the outcry against wearing helmets. There were actually people who argued that players wearing helmets would cause more high-sticking. To which Ted Lindsay always said, look at my face. Do you think I got these cuts shaving?
Well, but I also, going back on that reaction, and I wasn't kicking around when they first broke in, I don't see why...
I get it, I'm older. Fine.
Yes.
This again, okay?
But I don't understand why back then, why fans would care about that. Like, who cares if they wear helmets?
Because you can't tell who they are. I want Guy Lafleur's hair flapping in the wind.
Right. And listen, I understand. Maybe if you're in the moment and your heroes grew up playing without it, then you can't envision your kids' heroes playing with it or whatever it is. I don't have a problem with rule changes or fundamental changes that are in large part just... They're almost on the surface to the point where they don't change the way the game is actually played. Like that. Like, if, put it this way, the best example I could come up with on the fly here is if pitchers in baseball started wearing helmets to protect from comebackers hitting them in the head, I don't care. What does it matter to me? It doesn't change the way they're going to pitch.
No.
It doesn't change the way the game is played. If you want to wear a helmet, wear a helmet. What do I care? It's the same thing within hockey. Well, eventually, they're going to wear cages. Go ahead. I don't care if you wear cages. I don't have to see it happen, but well, if it does, I still think it's going to be a very similar game.
There is an argument, though, that players wearing cages or full visors makes it harder to see their faces and makes it harder to identify with them.
How so, though? Like But it's not an identifiable sport to begin with. That's just a part of the problem, because they're on the fly. It's so fast. It doesn't resonate the same way on TV. It's much better in the building than it is.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's only basketball that has the ability. You're not wearing a helmet at any point, or a hat.
No, not yet. But you know what? The argument I always think of...
Like, look how popular football is. No one can see their face.
Well, you can to an extent, though. I mean, their masks don't... I mean, the one thing is, in the NFL, they have very strict lighting rules, right? The lighting rules for the NFL. So it has to be 140 foot candles in the end zone. So TV can get close-ups of the players.
But that's a recent development because of HDTV.
No. It's been 140 foot. I mean, it's been like that since...
So 30 years ago, when TV was awful, you're telling me it mattered?
Hey, for one thing, I was in TV 30 years ago. It wasn't awful.
I was alive 30 years ago, and it was terrible.
You don't remember
compared
anything.
To what it is
you
now.
You don't remember anything.
I remember it.
You don't.
I remember it, Gord.
You don't.
I'm telling you.
You told me the 80s are a rumor to you because you were born in 80 what, 4?
The 88 NFC Championship game, I remember like it was yesterday.
How old were you?
I was 5. But Gord, you're fighting an uphill battle here. Let's be honest. Like TV now, because it's now, you can do the same thing with cages.
But actually, more
you can still
so,
see.
Actually,
their
more
face.
So then because the cameras weren't as good. You needed. I mean, now when you see a golf tournament and they're saying they're canceling because of darkness, you're sitting there saying it looks like the middle of the day.
I can see everything. Yeah.
That's because the camera's so good. But the best argument I've heard about arguing against progress. I remember being in Alberta. Alberta was the last province to adopt seatbelts. Okay. And there were actually elected politicians who argued that wearing seatbelts was dangerous. Because if your car caught fire, or you wound up in the ditch, in the water, whatever, right? Or your car went off a bridge, you wound up in the lake, whatever. And so finally, the head of the RCMP said, we've never seen anyone who couldn't get out of a burning car because the seatbelt was on. We've never had to unbuckle the seatbelt of someone who drowned in a car. Like, that's never happened. It's just, if you like fighting, just say you like fighting.
Well, I've said it many times.
Don't argue that. But don't argue that it keeps sticks down or polices the game. Just say you like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, but that's the problem. It's not okay anymore.
Well,
it's not okay.
Right.
You're not allowed to say that anymore.
You can say it to me.
Well, I've said it before.
I won't tell anyone. Well, except the massive radio.
I've been very honest about, like, I don't need staged fighting. I don't need quote unquote goons who just that's all they do is fight. I don't need that. I don't want it. I don't need reactionary fights. Someone threw a clean, big hit, so I got to fight. I don't need that. But in the spur of the moment, emotional, guys are battling in front of the net. Some guy took a swipe at another guy, drops the gloves, good fight. They go to the box. What's wrong with that? I don't have a problem with that.
So how,
I find it entertaining.
Because the argument against that would be that if you're serious about protecting players' heads, allowing them to punch each other in the head with bare knuckles is probably not a good way
to go. That's always been the case. But that is, I'm not in charge of legislating the sport. I'm a fan who watches. If they take it out, so be it. And then I have the ability to say, okay, I'm going to either continue to invest my time and money into your business, because that's what it is,
yeah.
Or I'm not. But that's where we're going here. Is there's a lot of push for immediate change and drastic change. And I'm telling you, watch what you're wishing for here, because it's a very slippery slope. And in football, it's much more dangerous. It's much closer to the edge than I think people recognize.
Yes, very
because
much.
If they're going to keep throwing flags and everything. It's just going to be.
Did you watch the games of the weekend?
I can't watch them. They're awful.
And we love the NFL.
I love the NFL. I've loved it my whole life. I've had a love affair with the NFL my whole life. And I can't picture myself being anything but excited for the NFL. But if it's going to fundamentally change, even if it's for the right reasons, it doesn't mean I will continue to invest. Like that. That's the point I'm trying to get across. It's not that I don't understand.
It is the preseason, so let's.
I know, and we'll see. But it's not that I don't understand the reasoning. You know, it's not. I get it. Yeah. I don't want to see players hurt. I don't want to see guys with CTE. I don't want to see that. I prefer it didn't happen. But I am a customer. If the NFL wants me to invest my time and my money, I want to see football played the way I find it entertaining. Now, maybe the jury's still out for everybody. We'll see what it looks like in 10 years. Maybe it's incredibly entertaining still. Awesome. I hope so. But what if it's not? Then what? What do you do in 10 years if you can't tackle, the linesmen are standing up, there's no, snaps under center, it's all shotgun, it's 75, 72 every single night? What happens then? What do we do?
Right. Who knows?
And we don't know.
But it's a delicate balance. It really is a balance. And they've got to figure out something, because if people don't let their kids play it, it's kind of a moot point.
Well, I do think that that's a bit overstated. There's some hyperbole, this idea that nobody's playing the game.
Not nobody, but I didn't say that. Don't radio me. Don't you radio me.
I hate that term, radio. You guys, you say what you say.
No. No, because what happens is people take... So I said back in September that if the Leafs get into a cap jam, they may have to trade Nylander or Marner or someone like that down the road. And it turned into this, Gord Miller says the Leafs should trade Nylander. I never said that.
No, never said should. That is legit
beef. I never said that.
When it's being promoted that you said something that you didn't actually say.
Which happens... That's getting radioed.
Well, I suppose. But
so you just backed... You totally backed off.
No, right? Listen.
Gave up there.
That's not radio. That's what... whoever's posting it online
Darren Dreger coined the term getting radioed.
Right. But those guys, I don't know. I'm not going to speak on behalf of them, but if you don't want to get radioed, then I guess don't go on the radio. Right? Can you get TV'd? Isn't that possible? Isn't it possible to get TV'd?
I've been TV'd.
I'm sure everyone that's been on there enough has been TV'd at some point. It happens.
We got to go.
What are you going to do?
Be a good host.
We'll get into the head-on-head contact and the NFL rules and officiating from the past couple of weeks and what we can expect into the next few months with Jim Deopoulos, longtime NFL ref. He'll join us just after 5. Really scary scene in IndyCar this weekend. Mm-hmm. Paul Tracy was there. The thrill from West Hill. I haven't used that term in a long time. He's coming up at 5:30. And the Jays getting swept down at Yankee Stadium, and now we got a beauty on our hands. Baltimore.
Your favorite team is here.
I can't wait. O's. It's going to be great. We'll look back on the weekend. Gord Miller's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. I've got to give a shout-out to Sheila here. Sheila sending us an email live at tsn1050.ca. Calling me out. Because I had a take. I said that, people enjoy playing in beer league, but no one ever goes to watch them play.
She goes to watch her.
She just sent an email saying she has 4 kids that play beer league hockey on the same team.
Oh, God. So if they don't show up, there's no game, I guess.
She said, I go to all of their games.
That's a mom of the year. My mom...
supported me, loved to come see me play. She's not coming to see me play on a Tuesday night at 11.
No. In your Kansas City Scouts shirt.
Yeah, York University. And why would I want her there? With all due respect, Sheila, I mean, maybe your kids want your support, but why are they giving you the heads up?
It's amazing how seriously people take it.
Oh, beer league?
I had a guy, swear to God, we used to play at St. Mike's on Sunday nights at 10 o'clock. And like 11 o'clock, we got the beers out, the game's over, and guy says, yeah, that's my 700th goal tonight. I'm like, what? Yeah, I scored my 700th tonight. I said, if you want the puck, I think it's the Chip Canadian Tire puck.
Over yeah, there. Exactly.
You can have that one. You can frame it if you want.
Guy's been keeping count of his beer league goals?
Yeah.
That is aggressive and uncalled for. See, but here's what I will say. I would prefer stat geek guy than itching to fight guy in beer league.
That's a weird...
That ruins beer league. Like, that can absolutely ruin it. Wait, where you get some lunatic who's trying to pick a fight.
Doesn't the Scarborough Men's League have contact? It did. As of like 5 years ago, I think it did.
Yeah, I think it was kind of lightly suggested if you want to kind of battle for a puck in the corner, but I can't imagine some guy coming through the middle getting with his head down.
Some accountant getting clobbered by
some guy in the trolley tracks just getting laid out. I can't picture that. I can't. But I guess if you sign up for it, right? Like, that is one thing I will say. If the league is completely void of any responsibility right. for your safety, and there's no legal ramifications, and you all sign a waiver, but then go out and live your life.
Don't forget Don Sanderson, right, who died in a fight.
But that was more than a beer league. That was like a pro, kind of low pro, wasn't it?
I think it was a rec league, wasn't it? I don't think he was playing pro. I don't think he was getting paid.
I don't know. Look that up. But I don't think it wasn't a rec league, because it was like the Whitby something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, there was like an actual legitimate team, and they played out of a rink. Like, it wasn't like Mr. Sub-sponsored beer league whatever. Or, hey, what color jersey?
It was senior hockey.
Yeah. So that's at least somewhat of a reputable league, is it not?
Yeah. You play for the Allen Cup, ultimately. You play for the... That's the national championship for...
The Allen Hlinka Gretzky Cup?
No, the Allen Cup. Hey, don't laugh, man. That thing's been around for like 100 years.
The Allen Cup?
It used to be a big deal. But still is kind of, but...
No, I know.
Brian Sutter coached the Bentley General to the Allen Cup championship a couple years ago.
I believe... Does TSN televise the Allen Cup? I don't know, but we might.
Theo Fleury played for the Allen Cup, but Ryan Smith?
Ryan Smith just recently, I thought, played in the Allen Cup.
Yeah.
He's got to give it up. You play in the league for a long time. Like, we get it. You love playing.
He couldn't skate a step in the NHL. So, I mean, he must have just flourished.
I would assume, but...
But, yeah, so, I mean...
Like, don't take someone else's spot. Get out of the way.
I want to know if the Scarborough Men's League allows contact. We got to find out.
All right, we'll look into it. The Jays, it was ugly over the weekend. Oof. And it's going to be uglier just based on who they're playing, but they do dominate the Orioles. I think they're 9-1 against them, so...
Well, there's that.
I'm fading Baltimore, you know.
I know. As soon as I saw the schedule, I'm like, Hayes is going to be pounding the Orioles.
Oh, I love the Jays. I love a 3-game sweep. For the Blue Jays.
They will not sweep them.
Okay, we'll get to that in 2 minutes. Landon texting in to 105050 saying, my mom wants to come to every single beer league game I play, but I won't tell her where we play or when we play because I don't want to put her through that. Yeah, I guess we'll seek out reaction. I mean, you can text us, tweet us, email us. Would you actually want your loved ones to come watch you play beer league? I wouldn't want them. Why would they want to come watch us plug around the ice? And
remember the commercial? I think it was a couple of years ago. The guy coming off the ice and his girlfriend's like, "How's it going?" Well, I thought we played hard. You know, you gave a bunch of cliches. She's like, "I'll be in the car."
Yeah, shut up, you idiot! I'll be in the car.
I'll be in the car.
Like, hurry up, get in the shower quickly. Stop messing around. I would think that would suck, too. Hockey, because it's a slow change, right? Like, you get off the ice, you sit around.
A few beers. A
couple beers, you're in the shower. Like, I would think from a spectator standpoint, baseball's probably the best sport, right? Baseball or soccer.
But there's no men's... It's funny. Is there men's league? Like, there's softball. Yet, but there isn't really men's league.
Like, fastball or hardball?
There's no men's league hardball.
I don't know. I bet you could find that. The thing is, you got to get pitchers, right?
The Toronto Maple Leafs, but that's like semi-pro, right?
That's like a bonafide
those guys
league.
Players. We couldn't get a bunch of guys here from TSN, put together the TSN baseball team and play baseball.
No, you couldn't. Because you can't find a pitcher. That's the problem. I would prefer that from a hitting perspective. That would be a much bigger challenge. But who's got the arm?
I do.
You could throw.
Absolutely.
What kind of mileage do you think you could throw at? Do you think you could hit 70?
No.
60?
Maybe.
Do you have any off-speed stuff, knuckleball?
Yeah, I got a curveball. I was a little league pitcher.
That's a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. I hit a woman once.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you don't want to get radioed on that comment.
No,
Explain yourself.
There was a lady coaching first base for the other team, yelling that I kept heckling me. He can't get it across the plate. Make sure you get a good look. He can't get it across the plate. Blah, blah, blah. So I turned back to the runner, dove back to first. And I might have thrown high on purpose.
You intentionally beamed a woman.
I did. Hit her in the shoulder. I was 12 years old.
I think you can get away with it at that age, because she shouldn't be heckling you if you're a kid.
Yeah. Not my proudest moment.
No. That's a tough one. But yeah, I think the problem with hardball is you can't get people to actually pitch.
Yeah, see,
that's
so
the issue.
Like, now pick up basketball.
That's great. Yeah, I've done that
before. That's terrific.
You know, and that I think, again, more of a spectator sport. The problem is they're small gyms, so where are people going to stand and watch?
You know what? You know the thing that shocked me about beer league hockey? So we played at St. Mike's, as I mentioned, and I think I played there for 4 years. Bet you we had 4 or 5 cardiac events. Like, they get the defibrillator there the whole bit. And, like, I remember the one night, like, right before our game, a guy had collapsed from the earlier game.
Wow.
In the hallway. Like, you sit around at a desk all week, and then you jump out. You don't warm up. You don't
stretch.
It's
a big problem.
You don't stretch. You don't, you know, like.
Alan Thicke died playing hockey, I believe, wasn't it? Like, yeah, you're right. You just get out there, and your heart's racing a million miles an hour.
Yeah, and you don't warm up. You don't.
That's a good point.
Like, no athlete. So that's one thing that, you know. And, you know, like the same thing with like squash or tennis. Guys just go out, they don't warm up, they just take off their suit, put on their stuff, and go out and play, right? And it's dangerous.
Yeah, it can be very dangerous. Someone texting and saying the Central Ontario Baseball Association is hardball 21 and up.
Nice. Let's get a team.
Yeah, we should get in there.
Are you a catcher?
I think I could hack. I could hack. I could hit above the Mendoza line.
What position do you play?
I'm a rover. I'm a proponent of the shift.
Just shift you into the dugout.
Yeah.
I'm just
going to
shift you right into the dugout.
You know, we could get John Gibbons maybe to be the manager, because now it's just a foregone conclusion that he will not be working here in about a month and a half.
He just lost it in the weekend, huh? Well, I think all that...
A lot of pent-up frustration, but I'll say this. This is the beef that I've had with the coverage of Gibbons, who I feel there's an obligation for me to, I guess, promote a preamble here, that I'm a fan of Gibbons, his personality. I think he's a pretty good manager. Do I think he's elite? Not necessarily, but I think he's a pretty good manager. But everyone focused on how Gibbons kept Kevin Pillar accountable, and that's why Gibbons is the real deal, and that's why you want him here down the stretch. But my reaction to it was, why is it happening to begin with? Why is Gibbons allowing for these guys to have that type of a lax mentality where they feel like they should even be attempting that anyway? Because he's right with his reaction post-game where he said you wouldn't see that in beer league baseball.
Or is it high school baseball, little league baseball?
It was an awful joke of a play by Kevin Pillar. Guess who's hitting in the two-hole tonight? Kevin Pillar.
Yeah.
You got a real problem with it? Pull him. Like, if you really think that you need to set the record straight, or if these guys are taking advantage of you, which I'm fearful they might be, because we're so focused on the kids. How's he going to react to the kids? Is he going to give Sean Reed Foley enough rope? Will Billy McKinney get enough hacks? What about the veterans who are saying, this guy's out of here in a month and a half. What do I care about John Gibbons?
So what happens when young guys like Jantz and others see this going on?
Well, that's another problem, and that's probably why he put up the front, and I think it was necessary to do it.
But to your point, if there's no consequences.
A yelling in the dugout?
This happens in hockey all the time, right? Veteran takes a bad penalty, doesn't sit. Rookie takes a bad penalty, sits. What's the message?
What's the message, exactly. Very inconsistent. And, you know, Gibbons, you're telling, Gibbons is in a precarious position because everyone knows the end result. He's out of here at the end of the year. And if you're a veteran on term, you're sitting there thinking, what is John Gibbons going to do for me the rest of my career? Why do I have to consider his feelings? Which can be very dangerous. It's very unprofessional. You don't want to see it happen. But that's what Kevin Pillar did yesterday.
What's his legacy as the manager of the Blue Jays?
I think once you get past Gaston, he's got to be right there in the conversation for number two, number three.
Bobby Cox?
I don't know. That was early on, right?
Like, so that what, doesn't count?
No, it counts, but did Bobby Cox go to back-to-back ALCS? Like, he went to back-to-back ALCS appearances, and he's had two stints. Gibbons had a good run.
Yeah, he has.
And he's had a really good run. I think it speaks more to the lack of options when you're trying to come up with a top five list for all-time managers.
I guess Jimmy 1M's never going to be in the running, is he?
There's a, like, in between Gaston and Gibbons the first time, there was a long list of guys who
Carlos Tosca.
You're going to forget pretty quickly.
Carlos Tosca was a...
Yeah. But, you know, this is the position that the Blue Jays find themselves in. They're not a very good team. Defensively, they're awful. The fundamentals have been poor all year. Now, I would place 95% of that on the players, but when does Gibbons have to take some heat?
I've never understood this. How can Major League Baseball players have bad fundamentals? It's like saying an NFL quarterback has bad footwork.
Well,
it's impossible.
But see, I think it's different. Fundamentals is paying attention to detail. Bad footwork means maybe you just don't have the athletics, or maybe you haven't put the work in. And a lot of it is fundamentals is you put the work in, right? But like what Pillar did over the weekend, that's just him saying, I'm taking a flyer, I'm going rogue here.
But I mean, Jose
and why is Jose it happening Bautista under the watch of John Gibbons, who apparently is having the greatest managerial season in history, according to some people? Why? When does he take any heat for their complete lack of fundamentals?
Jose Bautista throwing defense to the wrong base over and over again. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, but even that is in the moment where it's on. Like, there have been other examples this season where you're like, how did that happen? How did those guys? How did they run into that out? Like, how do you do that?
How did you get here?
Yeah, like, you know, you're right. Bautista would make mistakes, but at least I could reason with, well, he thought he could get this guy. Or maybe he didn't feel like the guy had a real shot at making the play or whatever.
He missed the cutoff man. Oh, he wanted to make the big throw to the plate and missed the cutoff man a lot. And that's, you know, I mean, that's changed a bit in baseball. You know, the way they play that now is not quite the same as it was when I was doing games. But that was considered a cardinal sin to miss the cutoff man.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff you learned.
Throw ahead of the runner.
When you were 5, 6, 7 years old.
Throw ahead of the runner.
Mm-hmm.
We had a cameraman that still, Mark John, still does do Blue Jay games. And Mark was in charge of picking up the where the ball was going. And he would always go to the right base, and George Bell would invariably throw to the wrong base. Mark was right, but he was wrong. He'd show Damaso Garcia standing there at second base waiting for the throw that never came, even though that's where the ball should have gone.
Well, George Bell made a lot of really horrible decisions.
And then just hit the cover off the ball.
But, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the difference here. That was on a winning ball club, but he was the man at the plate.
What we learned from this segment is we're going to sign up for a contact hockey league, and we're going to put together a TSN baseball team and play baseball somewhere. I think we've got something going here.
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying that, like, fastball.
Hardball, baseball. I mean, throw the cutter. Like, let's get.
Yeah,
let's
like, get, it's out there. Yeah. It's available to you. All right, we'll look into it. Jim Deopolis will join us in about 20 minutes, longtime NFL referee. Paul Tracy at around 5:30 and Richard Griffin of the Star just after 6 p.m. All right, we'll get into this NFL controversy that they have on their hands, where the players themselves are starting to revolt. And Richard Sherman went off on Twitter over the weekend about the lowering of the head to make a tackle and the amount of flags that have been thrown and the position the NFL finds themselves in. So we'll catch up with Jim Deopolis, longtime NFL ref, and get his take on where he sees the officiating taking this. Also, Paul Tracy on just a horrible crash over the weekend, his coverage of it, what he saw. We'll go over his career and how close he came to just walking away if that ever happened. So we'll catch up with Paul Tracy around 5:30. Gord Miller's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.